The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We read one of the most familiar passages of Scripture that we know about in the Christmas season, one that we sing about. Many of the carols are based upon this particular passage of Scripture, and is one that kind of summarizes a lot of the message of Christmas. But Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 8. But actually, the story begins earlier, where Joseph travels to Bethlehem. And then while she was there, Mary gave birth to that firstborn child. And then in verse 8 it said, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said, fear not, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you, King James says good tidings, but actually good news, of great joy, which will be to all the people. For today in the city of David there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You shall find a babe wrapped in clothes. King James said swaddling clothes. For a long, long time, I never could figure out what swaddling meant, and I finally realized it's nothing more than a blanket that kind of restricts the movement of a baby, where you wrap them closely and tightly. He wrapped him in the clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased, or peace and goodwill towards men. When the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they were in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babies he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statements which had made to them about this child. Father, we pray this morning that you will open our hearts and our minds to understand and to be renewed and refreshed with a new sense of passion and zeal for what it means for you to be born and the good news it brings to us personally and to our world. In Jesus' name. This was a special night, undoubtedly. In a lot of different ways. It was a special night because this is the night that God stepped out of the realms of glory and took on human flesh. I'm not sure we can ever comprehend all that means, the significance of that moment when the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Sovereign God of all things, the Creator of everything, the one who always has been, always will be, is the one who literally existed in the form of God, but he came into the world to exist in this world as both God and man, God in human flesh. And he dwelt among us. And he had a purpose for coming. That purpose was that he was going to live a sinless life among us and then go to the cross and to die. In John chapter 12, as he was approaching the cross, you know, he was filled with emotion and turmoil over what he was fixing to face and becoming sin on our behalf. And yet he said, shall I escape this hour? He could have if he had chosen. He was God. But he said, this hour I was born. It was why I came into the world. He came to go to the cross. Not only a special night that it was because Christ was born, but I think these shepherds undoubtedly were a special group of people. See, shepherds were considered unclean. They, because their occupation, they took care of the sheep, they were considered dirty. And so before they could even enter into the temple area, they had to go through a purification rites in order to be able to do there and spend several days getting purified and cleaned in order to take the unpurification of the animals. They were considered a lower class of people. And yet undoubtedly there was a special sense in which as they oftentimes lay out on the hills watching the stars, seeing the handiwork of God, God had undoubtedly touched their heart, and he chose them out as a very special group of people because they were the very first people who heard the announcement of the good news that God had become human flesh and dwelt among us. But it was also a special night for the angels. I've searched through the scripture and it's been amazing to me. We, you know, talk about the angels. This was a special group of angels. As far as we know, this was the only group of angels that ever had the privilege of sharing the gospel. If you search out other places in the scripture, that was God's purpose for us as his chosen children, is to be able to share the gospel of Christ. You'll find examples like in Acts chapter 10, when the angel came to Cornelius and spoke to him, he told him to go and get Peter. And Peter was to come and to share the gospel with Cornelius and his household. There are examples of that over and over where the angels were the messengers of God, but he has chosen to use us for that purpose. Now, that ought to stir us as we think about what that really means. Because God has chosen to carry on his work and the sharing of the gospel and the message of Christ coming into the world and what it means. He expects us to be able to be those witnesses. When the shepherd had seen and been told all that had happened, that's what they did. They left and went and told everything that they had heard. They became his witnesses. And if we really grasp what this season is about, we won't be able to keep shut about it. We'll be able to go and to tell others all that it means in our lives and in our hearts and to them if they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. It was a special time, special moment when God came. It was special primarily because the angels was able to proclaim the good news, the good tidings. The same root word is gospel. It's where we get our English word gospel from. The gospel literally is good news. That's good news in a world that is marked by bad news. Very seldom we see any good news on television or in the papers. Occasionally, this time of the year, you turn it on, you might get a human interest story that is good. But most of the time, we know it is always what's bad. It's always a politician that's a crook. It's always the guy who's done something wrong. It's always the tears. It's always something bad that has happened. It's all the terrible things that are going on. It's about how much in trouble and darkness our world is. And folks, our world is in darkness. Now, we as America have it pretty good. But there are a lot of people in this world who are hurting. That's part of what the mission to El Salvador is about and the Samaritan's Purse is we try to meet people's needs all over the world because the world is in darkness. It's in darkness because it has rejected the light, which is Jesus Christ. But Jesus comes as the light of the world to pierce into the darkness and to change people's lives and hearts. Darkness dominates our world. Bad news dominates our world. And into the midst of that, God steps in and the angels proclaim, folks, this is good news. Now, I think this passage of scripture talks about several reasons why it's good news. Just walk through the passage with me if your Bible and you'll see it. It's a familiar passage of scripture and I've seen this and read it over and over again, but may God remind us of his truth. The gospel is good news because, number one, it banishes fear. Now, here were the shepherds out on the hillside, and suddenly the angels appeared unto them, and it said they were terrified. Ultimately, the word here, literally, they were terrified. I think most of us would be. We would be the strange and impossible event of the very heavenly host coming down and literally being able to see them and all the events that were there. But the first words from the angel's mouth was, fear not. Do not be afraid. As I'm telling you, we live in a world of fear. We have a personal fear. Fear grips our society from all the bad that's there. Personal fear. A lot of times we don't get involved in crimes because we're afraid. I can remember at one point in our life when I was in Spring Hill visiting with my in-laws who've now gone on to be with the Lord from my first wife. And there was a lot of activity going on in a house across the street. And one day a policeman pulled up in the driveway and he said, y'all need to stay away from that house over there because there's a lot of drug activity going on and we've been watching them. And, you know, they're dangerous people and you ought to be afraid. And folks, there's a lot of times when we live that way. I remember when I was doing drug counseling, substance abuse counseling, I had a dealer come in and actually call for one of my clients to come out on the sidewalk and threatened him because he owed him some money. And I walked out there in the middle of that and told him to leave. He couldn't stay there. And when I come back in, people said, man, you shouldn't have done that. He's a dangerous guy. He'll come back and shoot you. I said, well, I'm not going to live with fear, and we're going to do what's right. But we live in a society that's based on that. We live with a nation that is constantly fear. Every time I pick up the internet and start looking, you know, they're afraid that this crazy man in North Korea is going to drop a nuclear bomb on us. And so we live in constant fear. The war is coming. The war is coming. We're going to have one with Russia. We're going to have one in the Middle East. We're going to have everywhere. Our society is gripped by fear. But not only that, but there's a personal fear. A personal fear that grips our heart. We don't attempt great things for God because we're afraid. We don't somehow believe and have enough faith that God can do the miraculous. So we just want to continue on with what we have, doing what we've always done, and just kind of coasting through society without taking any great attempts for God. We live with that kind of fear. We don't witness because we're afraid that the gospel might offend somebody. And yet that's what God's called us to do. And it's sad, but many people in our day are afraid of God. They think of him as some kind of monster ready to pounce upon us when we sin. There are many who are afraid to live their lives for God. Many of the pagan religions of our world, folks, they have reason to be afraid of their God. They think of their gods as being angry. And they live their lives in constant fear, trying to appease their God. But in contrast, the Christian faith stands out. We have a God who loves us enough to step out of the realms of glory, take on human flesh, dwell among us, be one of us. And the very first words that he utters to us when he comes into the world is, "Fear not." We have no reason to be afraid because of our relationship with Christ. Now, if you don't know Christ, you better be afraid, because what the Scripture says about hell and about eternity, it is true. But if we know Christ, there's a sense of security. We don't have to be afraid. He can meet our needs. The good news is that the gospel of Jesus banishes fear. We don't have to be afraid because we're secure in our relationship with God, a loving, gracious, good God. The second thing is it brings great joy. Instead of constant fear, the good news is the gospel brings great joy. For many people, honestly, this is the saddest time of the year. Suicide rates goes up over 20% every year during the Christmas season and the holiday times. And after the Christmas, right as soon as the Christmas season's over with, we kind of have a tendency to become depressed. Depressed grips our world. You ever watch kids? They're so excited going to Christmas. They want to open their presents. They can't wait. They're excited about all of that. But as soon as the presents is open, many of them are just tossed by the side, and they're disappointed because they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. And that's not true of everybody, but you can watch it as a general pattern. That's the same way it is, you know, in our world today when we have great anticipation for something and suddenly we realize that and it's going to happen. Then there's a depression that follows that and takes place. Why? Because we are reminded of how empty and meaningless life really is. We don't have a deep abiding joy that is the characteristics of those who are supposed to be secure in Christ. Jesus came into the world to bring joy. The joy of deliverance from our sin and all of its consequences. The joy of deliverance from hell and eternity where we're separated away from God. The joy of our security in Christ that no matter what happens to us, that God has not forsaken us and he's going to be with us. He's going to keep us. He's going to sustain us. The joy of our hope for the future, folks. Nothing can destroy that. Our hope is guaranteed because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The message of Christmas is a message of good news, of great joy. But then notice also in verse 10, it says, good news of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. That's the message. It is not just for the select few. Nobody's left out. All are welcome to come to God. Doesn't matter who they are. Not just for Jews or Gentiles, not just for white or black or yellow. It is for all peoples. John 6:37 says, Jesus said, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No sin too great. Nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should have everlasting life. Folks, it's for everybody. All peoples. But it's more than that. It's also a personal message. Notice what it says there in verse 11. Not only for all nations, all peoples. But in verse 11 it says, "For you born in the city of David, there has been born for you." That's a singular in the Greek language. That is a singular you. You have been born for you personally, individually, a Savior. Jesus was always concerned about the individual. More so than the great crowds. When you see Jesus talking with people, you see him like meeting the religious leader Nicodemus at night. And coming to him, and some of the greatest messages we have from Christ comes when he was talking to Nicodemus. John 3:16. He tells us Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved or redeemed. You see him talking to Nicodemus. Then you see him talking to the woman at the well, rejected by society. Been married 5 times, living with a man now that wasn't her husband. And yet Jesus picked her out on a personal basis, said, "If you come to me, I'll give you the water of life." You see him walking down the streets, going in with the crowds that are following him. But he stops under a sycamore tree, and there's a little man by the name of Zacchaeus up in that tree. And he says, "Zacchaeus, today come down, for salvation today has come to your house." And he goes and shares individually and personally with that individual person. You see him stopping at a pool where our people are laying around sick, waiting on an angel to stir the waters. And he picked out one man, an individual, and says, "Do you want to be made well?" Folks, I'm telling you today, God is still reaching out personally and individually to you. Forget about everybody sitting around you this morning and say, what is the message of God for you? What do you need to do? Quit worrying about what everybody else has to do. What do you need to do? Are you here today in need of Jesus, in need of salvation, in need of deliverance, in need of strength, in need of courage? You know, there's good news. "For unto you is born a Savior," a deliverer, you personally. But then, of course, the greatest message of all, and what Christmas is really about, is that Christmas is about a Savior. "For you is born a Savior, one who comes to deliver us from our sin." The heart of the message is, and folks, I'll tell you, if we understand everything else going on about Christmas and we miss this, we've missed it all. It is about our need of a Savior. That's why Jesus came. We are sinners. We've rebelled against God. Every one of us are guilty. Not a one of us is ever good enough to have a relationship with God. We cannot on our own reach God. You can't do enough works to make an atonement for any sin which we've committed. God alone is the way that we're going to have a relationship with Him. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." He is the only way to God. There is no salvation apart from Him. And folks, if we don't know Jesus, we're facing a world of consequences in which there's no strength and help to live. We're facing an eternity without hope where we're going to spend it in separation away from God. And folks, hell is real. We don't like to talk about hell on Christmas, you know, but I mean, it's real. We need to understand He came into the world in order to provide a Savior, to save us from that, to save us from the consequences of sin, to deliver us. Literally, He became sin for us that we might be reconciled unto the Father. A Savior. And folks, He can be ours today. He can be yours today. This is a personal message. Do you really know Jesus? The Bible says, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. But then we must put our faith in Christ. See, repentance and faith is the only response we can make to what Jesus has done for us. A turning away from our sin. And when we turn away from our sin, we turn to God and we trust Him. Indeed, as our Lord and Savior. We receive what He's done. Take Him into our life. And at that moment, He said, we'll be in Christ. And therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And behold, old things have passed and new things have come. He's our Savior. That's the good news. He came to deliver us and to save us. But then if we move on beyond that one couple of sentences there, we find that when these angels had disappeared, then there was a host of angels that suddenly appeared with them. And we talk about them singing. I don't know if they were singing or not. The Bible says they were saying. And people who want to argue about trivial stuff argue about whether the angels sing or not. But at any rate, it was a song of joy, whether they were singing it or saying it. And they sang, glory to God in the highest. Folks, I'm telling you, the gospel is good news because it brings glory to God. You see, the coming of Jesus into the world brought glory to God. We saw God as He was. We saw God's heart. Ultimately, that's what the word glory really means. God is glorious in and of Himself. And when we see God for who He is, when we understand Him, and we begin to grasp some truth about God, then God is glorified by that because He's seen and understood and benefited, and He received benefit, we received benefit because God is seen. Notice what John said about Him. He said, and the Word was made flesh, talking about Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him or revealed Him to us. Father, when we understand why Jesus came into the world, then God is seen as a loving, forgiving, gracious God who has done everything necessary to provide us salvation. Christmas is good news because it reveals the heart of God. And as we see it, He's glorified. But then they closed their message, their song, whatever, saying, and on earth may it be peace and goodwill towards men. A better translation of that is probably peace and among men with whom He's pleased. See, but the gospel is good news because it brings peace. Two kinds of peace. There's a peace that we need to have because we're separated from God. The scripture refers to it as peace with God. When you want to be able to leave this place knowing and secure in your heart that you have peace with God. The God of creation, the God who loves us, the God who cares about us. To go with a sense of security because now we know we have peace with God. Because the division that sin has created and the separation that sin has created has now been bridged and brought together, and we once now can have fellowship with God because we now have peace with God. He's not angry with us. He loves us. He doesn't want any of us to go through life without Him. And one of the things we need to learn is that our lives will always be better if we trust Him and then follow His leadership in obedience and do what He tells us to do. We never can make decisions on our own that are better than what God's already outlined for us. But when we live in peace with God and then obey what He has to do and we develop that relationship, we have what Paul calls the peace of God. That's almost mind-boggling. The God of creation, the God of eternity, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the sovereign Lord of all things, that God says, if you trust me, you can be reconciled to me, but not only that, but I'll give you a peace that nobody else can give. Jesus told his disciples, peace I give to you, but not like this world gives. A peace beyond understanding. He said, the peace of God, Paul wrote to the Philippians, will set up a garrison around your hearts and guard you and to protect you from the things that happens in this world. If we really have the peace of God, no matter what goes on in our world, we have peace because we know we're secure in our relationship with him. But I want you to see one other thing this passage says. For it says, when it's talking about Jesus as Savior, in verse 11, for and today in the city of David is born for you personally a Savior. He then defines who that Savior is, and he said he is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. Folks, if he's our Lord, then we ought to live for him, to serve him, to trust him, to obey him. Jesus one time asked the disciples in the crowds, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? If we recognize him as Lord, we will turn from our sin and trust him for our salvation. If we recognize him as Lord, we'll live a life of obedience. That brings glory to God, but it also brings peace to us and deliverance and salvation. Would you recognize Christ as Lord in your life today? The Holy Spirit speaks to us about what we need to do. And I believe right now there are some of you here who need to hear the voice of God. I'm going to ask if you will to just simply bow your heads. Close your eyes for a moment. Concentrate only on what God's saying to you. What kind of decision you need to make today that would give you the confident assurance that Jesus Christ is really your Savior and the confidence to go out of this building saying, he's my Lord and I'm going to live for him? What's he asking you to do? What decision do you need to make? As Christians around you are praying, as you're praying, would you hear the voice of God today and would you respond and to say, yes, God, yes, I'll trust you. I'll obey you. I'll walk with you in this world. I want to experience the joy of Christmas and knowing Christ. If you're willing to respond in that way, then I ask you to make that decision public. Jesus said, if you trust me, you'll not be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. But he'll give you courage and boldness to step out and say yes to God. Would you do it today? The greatest gift you could ever have at this Christmas season is to know when you leave here that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Father, we pray that you'll touch our hearts now. Speak to us. Draw us to yourself that you will be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.